and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and today I just want to start off, have you ever just had the fantasy where you just get to, you know, get away from it all, maybe turn off social media and check out for a little bit, kind of just go missing? I am not describing the perfect beach vacation. I am actually describing a potential social media challenge, which is a lot scarier than just going on vacation and sort of tuning out social media for a while might sound, because this is apparently a social media challenge that is encouraging teens to disappear. That does sound crazy. And I noticed this trend because it's in question, because authorities are not quite sure if it's actually happening or if it's more like a made up social media challenge, which if it's made up, I kind of wonder if teens just made it up so that they could point out to their parents how gullible their parents are, where they just read anything on social media and just decide that it's fact, which is your parents are always oh, don't believe everything you hear online. And I don't know. I think that would be funnier if teens were oh, well, don't believe everything you read online. It's a fake challenge. I think that'd be funny. I don't really know if they're clever enough to come up with that, but who knows? So, about this challenge, police around the country are worrying about the 48-hour missing challenge, which is a potential new social media challenge that encourages teens to go missing for 48 hours to gain social media attention. I don't understand how that works necessarily, because if you're going missing, are you not posting on social media? How is that then going to make you social media, get you social media attention? I don't understand. Granted, the social media trend of setting yourself on fire was so stupid. I don't know. This one, it might be worse. I'm not really sure. Catching yourself on fire, though, is awful. Anyway, this fear may be unwarranted, though. According to the fact-checking website Snopes.com, the challenge is a hoax, so thank God. the 48-hour missing challenge appears to be an offshoot of another social media dare known as the Game of 72. God, I am old because I've not heard of any of these, but these all sound so dumb. Anyway, Game of 72 is where kids are encouraged to go missing for 72 hours with the same goal of gaining social media attention. Both challenges were hoaxes, though, according to Snopes.com. So, gosh, good. That's really dumb if you're... God. there are so many dumb challenges. The Tide Pod Challenge, Bird Box Challenge. I understand why parents are probably concerned, because they've heard of all of these really stupid challenges. And then they're probably like, oh, 48-hour missing challenge. That's also really dumb. But they did all of these other ones. So maybe that's just how it is now. Maybe the kids are just not thinking. Yeah, I could see how parents might think this is true, but this is a terrible hoax. This is really mean to parents. They're probably so concerned. Apparently, the challenge is where teens would encourage each other to go missing for 48 hours with the goal to see if a missing post for them would show up on social media. Oh, I see. That's... oh, still so dumb. According to Officer John Lacey, who is part of a police department in Kansas, he said, to be honest with you, I didn't imagine it could get worse. Yeah, that's fair. That's pretty bad. Apparently the challenge was circulating on Facebook, and Officer John Lancey said that it's not only dangerous, but could tie up officers from real emergencies. That's what I really think. Like, I think the catching yourself on fire one is worse, I guess, for danger, like personal harm. But then this could also have the consequence where police are looking for you, like your parents report you missing or something, or your guardian or whatever report you missing. And then they go looking for you and put the resources into trying to track you down, which those resources could go to an actual crime when really you're not missing. You're just pretending to be. Also, if you're like you could go missing and be alone, like a teen just out there on the street, and then something bad could actually happen to you. This is dumb. Now, no, I think the fire one's still worse, but this one is also bad. So John Lancey said, it's taking resources away from the police department. You know, if we respond to your home, we're going to actively look for your child. We're going to think this person is missing and they really are not missing, and it's taking away resources. Yes, I agree. Police said that anyone that gets involved with the challenge could face charges for filing a false report. Yeah, that sounds legit. I don't know why of course you should be charged with filing a false report. That's exactly what you're doing. And just because you're a teen who found this trend on Facebook or whatever. Okay, also, I just want to say, this is a fake challenge. It's not real. Please don't do it. I'm not encouraging anyone to do this. It's a stupid thing. And everyone, don't believe everything that you read on the internet. It's not all true. Please be careful. Okay. This next story is pretty funny. It's about weird eating habits that people had as kids, which I feel like everyone had to have some kind of weird eating habit as a kid, something that you like grew out of, you know, and not just like being picky, but just like a weird thing that you would eat. And I guess really, no matter how adventurous your palate might be now, you probably did something really strange when you were a child, like whether it be eating or drinking, I'm sure it was strange. Anyway, NPR host Sam Sanders, who hosts an NPR podcast, he asked on Twitter about the weirdest eating/drinking habits his followers had as kids. And honestly, people did not disappoint with their very strange habits. I'm going to read you what he posted. He said on Twitter, "Tell me your weirdest eating/drinking habit you had as a kid. I'll go first. When I was like 8 years old, I used to carry a little bottle of apple cider vinegar around wherever I went, taking a swig every now and then, like a lush with his flask." Oh, God. I don't know if any of you have ever done that, where you put apple cider vinegar in like a juice or a smoothie, which is, I feel like, a trend on blogs and wellness things to like cleanse your body. It definitely cleanses your body. Not at all, you know, speaking from personal experience, I'm just saying I've heard. But I can't imagine what that would do to your body as a child. Like, you would have to get dehydrated or something. I don't know. There are also, there's a few more. Sam Sanders also said, as a child, my brother would eat sticks of butter out of the fridge under cover of night. We were strange. Yeah. Also, I have definitely heard of kids just eating butter, which is so gross. I mean, as a kid, of course, I loved butter like on my bread or something, but that is a whole different level if you're just a straight stick out of the butter. Also, that's like cold. You have to really bite into it. It gets in your teeth. It's just dairy fat. Anyway, okay, I'm gonna read a few of these. Another tweet response says, my cousin used to make us ketchup toast as a snack. It's just ketchup on untoasted white bread. That's weird. That's just ketchup bread. Another one. At snack time, I would chew Cheez-Its into a pulp, store them in my cheek like a chipmunk, and then go spit the mash into the toilet to see what Cheez-Its looked like when they were in my stomach. What? That's like not even really an eating habit because you're not eating it. Oh my God. Okay, that's weird. That is like a science experiment. Okay, this next one. Because the first bite of any apple is the best, which I firmly believe to this day, as a kid, I once took a single bite out of every apple in a bag and then hid the bag in the basement. Ooh. There are a couple that I read that had to do with, like, shame eating. I mean, like, the butter thing under the cover of night, that's shame eating. And let me just say, any example that I've seen of shame eating, you should feel ashamed for eating. I mean, as an example that I'm referring to on this particular strain of tweets. But all of these are weird, shameful things to be eating. You just put them all back in the bag and then hid them. That's like taking a bite out of every chocolate in like a See's candy box just to see what's inside. That's cruel. Okay, another person said, I was a big fan of butter, cinnamon, and sugar on a slice of bread. See, I don't think that's that odd. That's just like real cinnamon toast. Okay. Oh, this one's weird. Another one. I always dunked my pizza crust in my Coke. Still do sometimes, actually. I also used to crush up Doritos on top of vanilla ice cream. Like sweet and salty, okay? Oh, I guess that's sort of like dipping fries in like a milkshake, which I don't think is that weird. I think it actually tastes good. Oh, now I just really want food. But that is still pretty weird. Crushed up Doritos on vanilla ice cream, like the nacho flavor? Who wants cheesy nacho ice cream? I definitely do not want cheesy nacho ice cream. The pizza in a Coke, I could see more than the Doritos and ice cream. Still, that's because the pizza crust doesn't always have so much flavor, you know? Like, it's not flavor, just bread. But the Doritos stuff, that's a weird mixing. And then they're all soggy. Also, yeah, why do you want soggy pizza crust? Anyway, I don't know. Because the Doritos have the crisp, you know? Why are you ruining the crisp, like crunch? And then you're going to use pizza crust, which is already kind of soft. It's not as weird to get it soggy. It's already a soft, bready thing. Ugh, okay, I'm going to dwell on that. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back, and I'll keep reading some more of these tweets about strange eating habits as children.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. I am continuing to read some of these tweets in response to strange eating or drinking habits that people had as children. I'm going to read this next one. It said, I would make myself gourmet meals cooked all by myself of hot dogs sliced up and fried in Chinese takeout mustard and then coated in dried mashed potato flakes. Okay, I'm probably weird, but this doesn't sound that bad. I recently learned that people cook hot dogs by just microwaving them, which is horrendous to me. And I don't even know, it's not even worth eating at that point. There's no point. Why would you even do that to your food? But I think that's gross. You should pan fry them, barbecue them, or you could even boil them if you have to. You could probably even roast them in the oven. But anyway, the idea that this person would be like frying them like in takeout mustard does not sound that strange to me. Oh, I mean, coated in dried mashed potato flakes is very innovative. And I wonder if you get a crisp from that or if they just kind of, you know, like how when you eat Pringle chips, they just kind of dissolve in your mouth. That's what I imagine dried mashed potato flakes would be like. They would just dissolve. I wonder if it's like that or if they crisp. I'm not sure. But this one honestly does not sound that weird. I might just have to make it when I go home. I'm just kidding. I would not do that to my food. But I don't think it sounds that bad. Okay, next one. As a kid, I was pretty fond of the taste of dry cat food. Probably still am, though I doubt I'll be putting it in to the test anytime soon. Post-apocalyptic survival necessities notwithstanding. Oh my god. I can't. One time in middle school, my friends did truth or dare, and one of the dares was to eat dog food, like the dried dog food, and they said it was like one of the worst things I'd ever had. Yeah, I can imagine. It's probably just full of plastic and like sand. Like, that's what I imagine is in dried pet food. But that's horrendous. I mean, I guess, yeah, post-apocalyptic survival, I could see that. But, oh, God, your breath would smell awful. Okay, next one. This person just wrote, bananas, cut lengthwise, and mayo sandwiches. I thought this was a normal thing when I was, like, six. I'd ask other neighborhood moms for it instead of PB&J. That is so gross. That's, I mean, PB&J... is not, that's the weird mayo and banana taste, that cannot be good. I mean, mayo's kind of sweet, like jelly might be, maybe, but like, oh god, I don't even I don't need to explain why that's weird. That's just disgusting. All right, next one. I am allergic to milk, so I poured 7-Up on my cereal as a child. This is way before other milk alternatives were available. Interesting twist to Captain Crunch. Yeah, that's a sugar overload. There is no way that your body is going to recover from just 7-Up and, like, Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal. Like, ugh, God. I mean, okay, she said Captain Crunch, but, like, still, that is disgusting. And I guess that's probably better than doing, like, water, you know? Like, that probably makes more sense. But still, Also, I bet this person is really happy that they made alternative milks, because you cannot keep doing that. Also, why would you eat cereal? Just choose a different breakfast food. There are other ones, like oatmeal, I guess, or toast. I don't know. That's weird. I'm shocked. Also, did your parents let you do that? Why would your parents let you do that? Your teeth were just going to fall out. Anyway, that's just bizarre. Okay. Oh, this is another one about shame. It said, I used to hide under the stairs in our basement and eat dry cake mix powder with a spoon. I feel like maybe dry cake mix powder would taste okay. But still, this is one of those ones where I understand the shame eating. Like, yeah, of course you're hiding in a basement. You're eating cake mix with a spoon. That's weird and gross. I get why you'd hide that. Some people are bold. Like that kid who asked for, like, mayo and banana sandwiches. That's bold. I would not do that. Okay, another one. I used to carry around a packet of Swiss Miss cocoa mix and use it like chewing tobacco. And then her other one is, I ate plain spaghetti in a sauce of Diet Coke on more than one occasion. That is weird. The spaghetti and the Diet Coke reminds me of Elf, where he just puts maple syrup on his spaghetti with, like, M&Ms and marshmallows. So that's just weird and gross. But packet of Swiss Miss and use it like chewing tobacco. That's gross. I feel like that's like the cinnamon challenge, where, like, he wouldn't be able to breathe with all that powder. Okay, we're coming to the end of them. Another one. When I went to my granny's house, I'd put Skittles in a cup of ice water and drink it. I'd also dunk Pringles in water. Pringles would just disappear in water, though, if you did that. I feel like that's not sustainable in water, which is weird, but that's weird. Also, Skittles in water. So I feel like the person who put cereal in 7-Up, that's bizarre. But wouldn't you want to put the Skittles in, like, a soda instead? Like, Skittles in water is weirder. If you put it in, like, 7-Up, that makes a little bit more sense to me. That's just, like, at least, I don't know, that would maybe taste good, although you'd have weird globs of sugar at the bottom. Also, because they would dissolve their color. So, like, your drink or water probably become a weird, like, brown color, and then you'd have these, like, random, like, white blobs of sugar, like, on the bottom of your cup, which is very bizarre. But I don't know, that's weird. Okay, another one said, I used to eat paper, loose leaf, post-its, you name it, would sometimes write on the paper before consuming because the ink gave it flavor. Ew, like poison flavor. I feel like that's not good for you at all in any way. I did have a friend, though, in college who would eat paper. He probably still does. So I don't know why you would do that at all. Also, does that help for fiber intake or make it worse? I don't know. I imagine your digestive tract wouldn't respond well to that, but maybe it's fiber. Maybe your body is okay with it. I don't know. Anyway, I just want to say I don't feel like I had any extremely strange, weird eating habits when I was a kid, but I do remember requesting that my food be put in bowls and then put on the ground so that I could eat like a pet. Like, I wanted to pretend I was like a pet cat, which is very strange. That is not a part of my personal life now, I promise. But that's the weirdest one I could think of. Also, who didn't want to do that? Who didn't play pretend like dog or something when you were a child? I don't know. I feel like everyone wanted to pretend they were like an animal. Anyway, it's weird, but I don't think it's that weird. It's not like Skittles in water weird. Or, like, cat food weird. I didn't actually eat cat food. That's, like, different level. Oh, God. Okay, well, that was pretty funny. But I'm also, I like to assume everyone doesn't do that anymore. Except that one person who says that, what was the other one that she said she still sometimes does? Oh, like, pizza and diet and Coke. That's still weird. But whatever. Live your life. Okay, so this next story is about the former I guess you'd say first daughter. Well, I guess she was, I don't know if she was the oldest, so I don't know if that makes her the first daughter or the second daughter. But the daughter of former President Obama, Malia Obama, and tabloids have used some of her, they have used her in social media, and people are claiming tabloids have just done that purely as clickbait, which is wrong, and that they're saying she is a private citizen and should not be used this way just for clicks on the internet. So what happened is the Daily Mail released a story which led with a picture of Malia Obama on Facebook showing post-it notes that describe President Trump as evil. It ended with the observation that her boyfriend hadn't been seen with her last week in Miami, where the tabloid revealed that Obama, who turns 21 this year, had been seen drinking rosé. This is not the first time that Malia has been in headlines for doing something mildly scandalous. It is also not the first time that any presidential child has been in the news for doing something apparently scandalous. But also, I mean, she's not the president's daughter, like, anymore. She's a former president's daughter, and she's not a like, she's a celebrity, but not really. Like, people shouldn't be following her around in that way. I just feel like that's wrong. Also, like, that's not showing respect to the president, or even, you know, the former president, or anyone. That's not showing respect to the first family. That's really annoying. A lot of people on the internet were obviously upset about this. The report was slammed for its lack of editorial value. Yeah, definitely lack of editorial value. There were some comments. One said, OMG, Malia Obama is a human with political opinions and also enjoys wine. And that was from conservative commentator Ben Shapiro. Another person said, wait, Malia Obama hates the dude who fueled an 8-year campaign of racist lies claiming her dad wasn't born in America? Go figure. And that is from screenwriter Randy Mayhem Singer. And of course, he's referring to Trump's really terrible birther conspiracy about Obama, saying that former President Obama was not born in the U.S. and hence was not eligible to become president. I mean, again, is that really a surprise that she does not like President Trump or thinks that he's evil? No, that's not at all. Also, there are so many millennials who think that, with way less reason than, at least way less personal reason than Malia Obama. I'm not going to say way less reason, but way less personal reason than Malia Obama. Like, there are tons of people who probably have post-it notes saying that. There are also probably tons of graffiti, like, everywhere saying that. But, oh, gosh. Anyway, I think that's ridiculous. She has clear personal reason to not like President Trump. Okay, I'm going to take a break, and then we'll come back and continue talking about this story.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. We are continuing to talk about the the apparently scandalous story that was put out by the Daily Mail about Malia Obama. I just want to continue reading some comments that came from others regarding this story and how this story was definitely slammed for lack of value. This comes from a tweet by fellow first daughter Chelsea Clinton. It says, Malia Obama is a private citizen. Her comments were seconded by another former first daughter, Jenna Bush Hager, who said, "No part of her life should be anyone's clickbait." Much agreed. Also, I'm very encouraged to see these women supporting each other, like coming out and publicly supporting each other, you know, despite potential political connections or I don't know. That's good to see. Women supporting women. Another report, another person said that the report really falls in line with a long history of fascination with the lives of first children. This has definitely been the case. This has really been something that's come up in the media just forever. The media really has had a tendency to follow these children, and it's kind of been seen as a faux pas, yet it still goes on. And I really feel like the media does it, but it doesn't have any real value. Like, people don't need to know this. I mean, again, there's a lot of news that comes out that we don't need to know, but this is particularly, I feel, offensive to people's personal lives, especially a family that's probably already under a bunch of pressure, like being the first family. Like, that's a serious, like, big pressure situation. So I don't know. I really disagree with what they did. Susan Ford Bales, who is daughter of former President Gerald Ford, said in 2010 that she never got over the constant eyes of the press, but still couldn't fathom the same scrutiny in the internet age. She has said it changed so dramatically, and she said that, or I'm sorry, she said so changes so drastically. She said that in an oral history project with the Gerald Ford Presidential Foundation. She said, "The White House days then and the White House days now, the press really followed the children, but we didn't have 24-hour news back then. And today you've got this 24/7 stuff, and I cannot imagine being there now. I'm sitting there looking at what they're doing with Chelsea Clinton's wedding. Come on, she's not in the White House anymore. Please." I agree. I think it's ridiculous. I think especially when you're not even, like, your family's not even in the White House anymore. Like, really? That's... Do you really have to do that? You don't. You don't. And we don't need to know that. There's already enough pressure, like, on their parent who is the president. It's not like we need to hear more about your wedding. I don't know. I mean, maybe if it was just, like, nice coverage. Like, oh, it's so pretty. That's definitely not what it is. But you know what I mean. It's just disgusting. Another one. This comes from Lucy Baines Johnson, daughter of President Lyndon B. Johnson. She lamented to Newsweek in 1965 that she said, quote, "We don't get paid, but we sure get criticized." And she recounted the time when strangers would scold her for bad grades and then accused her of bragging once the White House shared the news that she was getting B's. What? Like, that's just ridiculous. Also, I can't believe that the media continues to do this. I feel like there are definitely people out there who probably read these reports and just revel in this juicy political gossip. But at the same time, I just feel like if they stopped reporting this, no one would miss this. It's not like super edgy reporting. I mean, it's just like celebrity news. It's like reporting like what Kim Kardashian just did, which, yes, people do love. But I feel like Kim Kardashian kind of chose that life. You know, she chose to be a celebrity and she makes money off of it. And I really feel like the point that was made by Lucy Baines Johnson, that they're not getting paid, but they're being like criticized and they're being reported on. I mean, I feel like that's a really fair point. There are some people, like celebrities, who that's part of their job is to be followed by paparazzi, a very sad part of their job, but they have, you know, they've signed up for that. I think if you're a child of a president, you haven't necessarily signed up for that. You haven't even really signed up for your president, for your parent to be the president. You know, it just kind of happens. And yet they're getting such harsh criticism and getting followed and photographed, and even once they're no longer in the White House. Also, that's a terrible story to say that she was criticized by complete strangers for getting bad grades. Like, I get nervous when someone asks me, like, oh, what's, you know, what are you going to do next? Like, what job are you going to have next? Are you going back to school? Things like that. Like, that makes me nervous and uncomfortable. I can't imagine how that feels when you have a bunch of random strangers asking you that, and you're, like, the part of the first family. Like, at least the people asking me that usually kind of know me. Like, that would be terribly discouraging. And that's not encouraging for someone to, you know, then improve or get better grades. I don't know. That's just so ridiculous. And I really think it's a practice that needs to stop. I don't think the media needs it. And I don't think the American people need to know that either. It's, well, why do we care? especially like if it's things like how people dress or things like that, it's not worth it. And Malia, I mean, she's almost 21. I'm not advocating underage drinking, but it's not like that uncommon. And again, the sticky note thing, like, come on, evil. That's the worst. That's not nearly the worst thing that people have said about the president. I don't know. It's ridiculous. Well, that brings it to the end of the show. Thank you all so much for listening, and please tune in to the next social media news podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.